Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. I want to share a message this morning on the reward of the Lord, how the blessing of God can come into our lives, and one of the great keys to the blessing of God today, the reward of the Lord in our lives. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 40 to 42. Jesus said these words, "He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." God wants to bring reward on our lives. And in these words, Jesus is speaking about the ministry that comes into our lives, and he mentions the three broad classifications of people that we relate to. The number three is on this page again. Those that are over us in the Lord, which would speak of the prophet, ministers of the Lord, preachers of the gospel, how we attend, how we treat, how we respond to them. Then he speaks of a righteous man or a righteous woman. Those that are beside us, people that are our peers on our level. And then he speaks of the little ones, those that are under us. These three groups of people. If you receive a prophet, the Lord says you'll receive a reward. If you receive a righteous man, you receive a little one, you will receive a reward. Now, what does it mean to receive a prophet's reward? If we treat a prophet kindly, we're receiving one this coming week, we receive him with honor and grace, treat that prophet as we would treat the Lord, does that mean we will have a share in the eternal reward of that prophet? That is true. Whatever ministry we support in the earth, we have a share in the reward in heaven. But there is more. There is blessing in the here and now. Jesus said, "I'm sending my ministry through people. And as you receive them, there will be blessing that flows into your life. If you receive a righteous man, there will be blessing that comes to you. If you receive a little one, there will be a reward." Jesus said, if you give even a cup of cold water to a little one, to a learner, to a young Christian, to a child. And in those days where that message was delivered, a cup of cold water was a great blessing and a great generosity in a hot, dry climate. That someone would go out of their way to make sure that somebody was refreshed. Here, have a cold drink of water. It's a hot, dry, and dusty day. Jesus said that person will not lose their reward. The reward of God will come into that life. Now, the little ones, and I want to mention those first. The little ones are young Christians, learners, young converts. And my, how much we receive through them. How much we gain through them. It's also referring to our children, our sons and daughters. My, how we've been ministered to through our sons and daughters, the children that God gives us into our homes. What a blessing of God comes as we receive them, as we receive their gifting, as we receive what the Lord is pouring through their lives for us. Because while we are raising our children, they are raising us. The Lord is speaking through our sons and daughters. That little baby, that little child in your home, the Lord is speaking to you. The Lord is giving you a greater appreciation of how he cares for you, how he delights in you, how much he loves you. How often has your little son or daughter encouraged your heart, lifted you in times of sorrow or struggle, discouragement? That little child has come and such delight before you, and your heart is lifted. When you're sick, your little child has come and laid his or her hands on you and prayed for you and healed you and touched you by the presence of the Lord. He that receives a little one shall receive a reward from the Lord. And so when we look at these blessings of God that come through these avenues, the prophet, the righteous man, the little one. We know that there is blessing that comes in a general way, but we also understand that there is specific blessing that comes to our life. The reward of a little one. You think of the reward of a righteous man. If you receive a righteous man or a righteous woman, if you receive the brothers and sisters that God has put in your life and in the house of the Lord, my, what a reward comes. What a blessing of the Lord can come to your life. Perhaps a gift of healing that flows through them. A word of wisdom, an encouragement, a lift in the spirit. A prayer of faith comes to your life as you receive the righteous ones around you. God gives a reward into your life. Or as you receive a prophet of the Lord. When we receive the ministers of the Lord, the men of God, the prophets of God, what comes into our life? What kind of a reward do we have in a specific way? We receive prophetic inspiration, don't we? We receive a divine impartation. We receive spiritual vision through these seers, these prophets. We receive the very word of the Lord as we honor them and receive them into our life. How important, Jesus said, it is to receive these ministers and these people of God. Again, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are pouring ministry through people in three dimensions. The prophets, the ministers of the Lord, the righteous men and women about us, and the little ones, the sons and daughters, and the new converts. And as we receive, the reward of the Lord comes into our life. God is willing to reward us. God is looking to reward us. He is a rewarder. He seeks to bring blessing into our life. Genesis 15 and 1, God is a rewarder. Genesis 15 and 1 says, God said, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. I am your exceeding great reward. There is no reward like the Lord himself. His presence, his goodness, his word in us. When he comes and ministers to us directly and he lives within us by his Holy Spirit, what a reward we have. But the scripture says as well in Hebrews 11, 6, without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's take that into our hearts this morning. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You can expect the blessing. You can walk through life expecting blessing and reward because you are diligently seeking the Lord. God is just. God is righteous. The same God who says it's not right to withhold wages from a servant. That same Lord, as we serve him, understands the principles of justice and right reward. And he says, I will reward you openly. I will reward you. Psalm 19, verse 11, speaking of the words of the Lord, it says, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. In keeping of the word of God, there is great reward. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. As we delight ourselves in the word, as we take in the word through the preaching of the house of God and in our daily lives, there is something that begins to flow into us, and the Bible says that is the reward of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord comes. In keeping of these scriptures, there is great reward. Psalm 18 and verse 20. David said, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands has he recompensed me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. It's important to walk a holy life. It's important to stay clean before the Lord. It's important to walk in righteousness. Righteous principles and righteous ways. What happens? The Lord rewards. The Lord rewards his servants. God is a rewarder. Psalm 58 and verse 11. So that a man shall say, verily there is a reward for the righteous. Verily, he is a God that judges in the earth. So that a man shall say, verily, there is a reward for the righteous. And I think all of us would be quick to say amen to that scripture this morning. There is a reward to the righteous. Those who follow their own way, those who walk the way of separation from the Lord, fall into difficulty and ruin. But the righteous are lifted. The righteous live in the presence of the Lord. Proverbs 11:18, the wicked works a deceitful work, but to him that sows righteousness shall be a sure reward. To the person that sows righteousness, you plant the seeds of righteousness, of prayer, of worship, of tithing, of giving, of ministry. If you sow the seeds of righteousness, the Bible says you will reap a sure reward. I'm so thankful that the Lord rewards. The Lord rewards. He's willing to reward. He is a rewarder. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. He that receives a righteous man will receive reward. He that receives a prophet will receive reward. He that gives even a cup of cold water and ministers to a child or a young convert, that person will in no wise lose the reward and the blessing of God. Now, I'm interested to compare some scriptures this morning, and that is out of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, three scriptures that we want to look at. I guess I should have shared 1 Samuel 2:30, first of all, where the Lord says, them that honor me, I will honor. Them that honor me, I will honor. Now let's look at Mark chapter 6, verses 3 to 5. And we have to compare some words because Jesus is very pointed in what he says. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 5, as Jesus came to his hometown of Nazareth, verse 5 says, he could do there no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. When Jesus came to his own village of Nazareth, he could do no mighty work. He was restrained. He was hindered by the response that was given to him. In verse 3, they said, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joses and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended. They stumbled at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own relatives and in his own residence. Too familiar sometimes, aren't we, with one another? Too familiar in the house, in the family. A prophet is not without honor, but in his own region, among his own relatives, and in his own residence. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Now notice it says in verse 4, Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor. Not without honor. Now we'll compare the Luke passage, Luke 4 and verse 24. Again in Nazareth he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. In Mark he said, prophet does not receive honor. Here he said a prophet is not accepted. He could do no mighty works. And then we have the Matthew account, which uses the word receive, he that receives a prophet. So we know that we can use these words interchangeably. Honor, acceptance, receiving, these are interchangeable words. Jesus said, if you honor a prophet, if you accept a prophet, if you receive a prophet, if you honor a righteous man, if you accept a righteous man, if you receive a righteous man or woman, if you honor a child, if you accept a child, if you receive a child, you will receive a reward. When Jesus went into his hometown of Nazareth, the reason he could do no mighty works, this is astounding and amazing. It was because there was no honor. There was no acceptance. There was no receptivity to him. They did not make him feel welcome. They did not count him as special. He was just one of the ordinary townsfolk to them. And because of it, God, the Lord could do no mighty works. Isn't it amazing that everywhere Jesus went to that point, there were mighty works and mighty miracles. But when he went into Nazareth, there was such a limitation on him, such a lack. Is it possible that this great prophet of the Lord Jesus could go into one locality and the blessing of heaven would flow and reward would come? There'd be signs and wonders and miracles. People would be touched and ministered to and yet walk into his own place of Nazareth and have little happening in the spiritual realm. The Bible says that's exactly what happened. And the key to it all was honor. Jesus said, there's no honor in this town for me. There's no special welcome. There's no great receptivity to me. Still today in the kingdom, some people receive so much, and some Christians receive so little. And it has to do with honor. Some people receive so much. Men of God stand before them, brothers and sisters are around them, children are milling about them in the house of God, and they walk out so full of the presence of God, so full of reward, so full of word in them, so full of direction, so full of ministry, and others walk out so empty. And the Bible says it has to do with honor. How's our honor today? How's our honor for the ministers of the Lord? How's our honor for our brothers and sisters? How's our honor for our little ones? Now, Jesus gave us two examples of honor. In Luke chapter 4, as he mentioned these words, he gave two examples of honor. I'm not pulling out these examples today by my own selection, out of some random choice in the Word of God. Jesus gave us two examples of what honor is and how it operates. And how it was exemplified. And he gave these to us so he could teach us his ways. So Luke chapter 4 and verse 24. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel. In Israel, in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah, notice the word, sent. Sent. Save unto Sarepta or Zarephath, as it is in 1 Kings 17, a city of Sidon, up on the northern coast between Tyre and Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto this widow woman. And she wasn't even of the commonwealth of Israel. She wasn't what we would say a Christian. But the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect, the Bible says, who are loyal, who hold nothing back from him. And the Holy Spirit was searching. There wasn't one widow that he could find in Israel, but there was a widow up on the coast of Phoenicia. And he said, Elijah, that's where you're going, because that woman has something in her life that I can respond to and you can respond to. And then he said, verse 27, and many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed. None of them. Not one of them was healed except a foreign man up in Syria, Naaman the Syrian, the leper. Jesus said, a prophet is without honor except in his, or a prophet has honor except in his own country. And he was using these examples. Now, when the people heard this, they were so incensed. The Bible says in the synagogue, they heard these things, they were filled with wrath. Rose up, thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong, push him over the cliff because of those words. But Jesus slipped through the crowd because his time had not yet come. Now let's look at these examples of honor. The first is the widow of Zarephath. The Lord sent Elijah in a time of famine in 1 Kings 17. Here was a widow woman and an only son, and they had enough meal, flour, and oil for one last supper, and then their life would end. The provision was gone. The famine was severe. And Elijah came to town that day. Now, she knew who Elijah was. Everybody knew who Elijah was. He was a household name from throughout all the land. Elijah walked into town and he saw this widow woman, but the Bible said he was sent by the Lord. And that widow woman had something in her, and that was called honor. And because of it, she received the miracle. She had honor. Elijah said to her, "Please get me a drink of water." As she was going to get the water, he said, "Make me a little meal." And she said, "I only have enough food for my son and myself. I'm gathering sticks for one last fire, one last meal, and then our provision is done." He said, "Make me a cake first. Make me a cake first." This widow woman didn't say, "Who is this man of God that he thinks he can take my last bit of provision?" Just strolled into town. Obviously, he's been fed by the Lord. He looks healthy and strong. And we've been rationing our supplies now for a long time, and he's coming and he wants my final provision. Those preachers are always after money, aren't they? That miracle would have walked right by her house. She said, "I'm going to honor the man of God, and I'm going to believe God at his word. Because he said, if you do this, the cruse of oil and the barrel of flour will not fail till the Lord sends rain upon the earth." She went. She took those sticks. She lit the fire. She baked him a cake on the coals, and she brought it to him and some fresh water to drink. And she went back to her house, and there was a miracle in her house. While other widows were starving, while people were in famine, other people were in famine, they had nothing. But here was a widow woman who lived under the miracle provision and power of God. And Jesus tells us why. Because she had honor. So that's what it is. It's that honor. To be accepting, to be receptive, to give to those who are over you in the Lord, the prophets of the Lord. A little while later, her son died. No breath in him at all. And she cried out to Elijah and said, "Have you come to visit my sins upon me?" And Elijah went up. He said, he took the child out of her mother's arms, that widow woman, her only son. He went and laid that child up in the room where he was staying, and he stretched himself. He laid out and stretched himself upon that child three times, and the life came back into that child. There was healing in that house. The Bible says God listened to the voice of Elijah. That woman had provision. She had flour. She had food. She had healing in her house because she honored the man of God. I wonder how we honor the men and women of God. How do we honor the ministry today? When there's a call to prayer, when there's a call to worship, when there's a call to ministry, how do we respond? Is there reluctance? Why do they ask so much? Don't they know I have little time? Don't they know I have little money? Or is there something in us that says, "I'm going to honor the work of the Lord. I'm going to honor the men and women of God that are over me. I'm going to honor the leaders that are over me in my life," because that key of honor is a great key that brings the blessing of the Lord. You think of Naaman the Syrian, who Jesus mentioned next. He said, "There were many lepers in Israel, but none of them were healed in the days of Elisha." None of them. But Naaman the Syrian, a foreigner, a Gentile, who didn't know the Lord but was converted after the miracle, received the healing of the Lord. You know what Naaman did? He received all three categories of what Jesus mentioned. He received a prophet, he received a righteous man, and he received a little one. Now, you heard a great message last week on the little maid of Israel. Naaman the Syrian, up in the north of Israel, but a man that was honorable. He was the captain of the entire army of Syria. He had won great battles, and yet the Bible says he was stricken with leprosy. And there was a little captive maid, a little girl that was brought into the house to serve his wife. And this little girl said to Naaman's wife, "If your master just knew the prophet in Samaria, if he just knew about Elisha, he'd be cured of his sickness." When that word was passed through to Naaman, he didn't respond with, "What does that little captive know? I wouldn't listen to somebody of that level." No, there was a response. He honored a little one. He honored that word. There was something in her contrition. There was something in her voice. There's something in what she said. He said, "I'm going to honor that voice, even though that person is so far below me in status in this nation. I will listen to her." So he went to Samaria to the prophet Elisha, took his chariot, took some of his men with him, his soldiers, and they went down to Samaria, city of Samaria, to see Elisha. And the Bible says that as he came to the door, Elisha, the prophet, didn't even get up out of his chair to go greet the man at the door. See, there are a lot of tests that we don't realize are tests. All that Elisha did was send a messenger to the door. Say, tell that Naaman the Syrian to go and wash in the waters of the Jordan 7 times. Naaman was upset. He was irritated at first. "Here I am, the captain of the entire Syrian army, and that prophet of the Lord can't even come to the door and say hello." See the testing that was there? Said, "I thought the man of God would come out and lay his hands on me, strike my sickness, or pass his hand over me, or call on the name of his God, call down a miracle, and I'd be healed." But he didn't do that. Wouldn't even show up. Just said, "Go and wash in the dirty, muddy Jordan River." My, the rivers of Syria are so crystal clear and beautiful. I've got to go and dip in that muddy Jordan. He was incensed. The Bible said he got into his chariot and he was ready to ride away. Maybe he went a little ways, but all of a sudden some men who spoke righteousness came to him. His soldiers came to him. Now here was this man of great authority. He'd already made a declaration of what he was going to do. Could he humble himself and back down when a righteous man or righteous men spoke to him? They said, "My, if the prophet would have asked you to do some hard thing, you would have done it. But Naaman, come on. Come on. Why don't you go down to the Jordan?" Off to the Jordan, some 30 kilometers to the east. It wasn't an easy ride. Down into the Jordan River, obeying the word of the prophet, honoring the voice of the prophet, overcoming his own distress, his own annoyance, saying, "I will believe what the prophet said." He dipped 7 times in the Jordan and he came up, and the Bible said his flesh was as fresh as the flesh of a child. I mean, this man was loaded up with silver and gold. Thousands of pieces of silver, talents of silver and gold. He had 10 fine suits, the best garments you could buy, ready to give to Elisha. Drove his chariot those 30 kilometers back out of the Jordan, back to Samaria. He wanted to give gold and silver and garments to Elisha. Elisha said, "No, I won't receive them. It's not a time to receive gifts." But the intent was there in Naaman's heart. The honor that was in Naaman, and because of it, he was cleansed. Because of it, he was healed. No other lepers cleansed but Naaman. What did he do? He received a little maid. He received her voice. He heard God in the voice of a little child. Sometimes the Lord speaks and we're so quick to dismiss it, but if we just stop and think a little bit, and you know what I'm talking about, say that the Lord was speaking to me. I was so quick to react or say this or that. That's the voice of the Lord. I'll receive that little child. I'll receive what my son or daughter say. I'll receive the righteous people around me, even though I've already made my declaration. Can I humble myself and repent of my hastiness and say, Lord, you're speaking to me through my brothers and sisters. I'm not going to shut them out so quickly. Receive the word of the prophet. Jesus said, these two examples, he says, those are examples of honor. Those are honor. How's our honor today? The word honor means to place value, to give worth, to put appreciation on something. That's honor, to give it worth, to make it feel special. That's the definition I like. To make someone feel special. When you honor, it means to make someone feel special, to feel valuable. Respect is something that is due. We respect our elders. We respect the leaders of the land. But honor is something that is given. And the Bible tells us to go beyond respect to honor, to make people feel special, to make sure they feel valuable and worthwhile. Respect is duty. Honor is delight. Respect is duty. Honor is delight. You can respect someone, but it doesn't mean you honor them. Say, well, I respect that person. They're in position over me. Or I respect that government person because they're set in place under God's authority. But do we honor them? Respect is duty. Honor is delight. Bible says of children, it says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But it doesn't only say obey your parents. Obedience is that respect. It says, honor thy father and thy mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Not only respect for parents, but honor for parents. Bible says, husbands, give honor unto your wife. Not just respect, give honor to your wife. How you make her feel that valuableness, that worth. Husbands, honor your wives. And the Bible says, wives, show reverence to your husbands. Show reverence to your husbands. Where there's honor, the blessing of the Lord flows. Where parents honor children and children honor parents, there is blessing that flows in that house. Children making the parents feel special, so appreciated. And parents that make their sons and daughters feel so valuable, so appreciated. What happens? The reward of the Lord is in that home. The blessing of the Lord comes down. But where it's lacking, there is strife and there is difficulty and there is much hardship and ruin. Marriage, same. House of God, the same. Some interesting verses in 1 Peter 2, and I think it's 14. The Bible says, honor all men. Honor all people. Make them feel valuable. Make them feel valuable. Then it says, honor the king. And the king at the time of Peter's writing was Nero. Emperor Nero, who brought in the persecution of the Christians. And many lives were taken in martyrdom. But Peter said, honor the king, whatever king you're under. I wonder if the prime minister of our nation walked into this place this morning, if he would feel honor or only respect. Would we make him feel like he's special, like he's valuable, like he's worthwhile, that he's appreciated? That's what the Bible says. Now, we've got our line sometimes set. I'll give respect, but I'm not going to honor according to this or that. But the Bible says if we will learn to honor, the blessing of the Lord will flow into our lives. Hallelujah. How's our honor this morning? How's our honor for the prophets, ministers of the gospel, the preachers of the gospel? Come into the house of the Lord, and how's our attendance? How's our making them feel special. How's our warm-heartedness? My, they're coming. We're receiving the very word of the Lord. We're receiving the very person of Jesus Christ in bodily form, as it were, through this man, this woman of God. Jesus said, if you receive a prophet, you will receive a prophet's reward. A righteous man, brothers and sisters around us, again, to receive one another. The Bible says in Romans 12:10 that we should honor one another, preferring one another. In honor, preferring. That appreciation, that special feeling toward one another. And that we are to receive one another. He that receives a righteous man, receive one another. My, what blessing of God flows into our lives as we receive one another. Exhortation and ministry and encouragement and generosity and receiving the little ones. This is the way of the Lord. I'm going to leave it there this morning. Worship team, come. 1 Samuel 2:30, once again. Them that honor me, I will honor. Them that honor me, I will honor. I must invite you to stand this morning. Let's take a moment before the Lord and examine our honor. Our honor of the ministry, our honor of the house of God, our honor of our employers, people we serve under, because there are people over us, there are people beside us, there are people under us. And Jesus said, if you will honor them properly, the reward of the Lord will flow into your life. You will have the blessing of God in your life. So we thank the Lord this morning. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, we deal with our hearts before you this morning. Speak to us, Lord. Deal with us, Lord. Father, like that widow of Zarephath, like Naaman the Syrian, Lord, we would be people that would honor those around us, honor those over us. Because of it, receive healing and cleansing, provision and life. You are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Lord, if there are any here this morning that are walking their own way, looking to their own means, what their own hands can do, what their own minds can accomplish, pray, Father, there would be a fresh revelation of the Word of God and the principles of God. The knowledge of the Lord would come into our hearts. We wouldn't be so quick to dismiss this or that or stand off from the things you've called us to do. But, Father, with true honor, Lord, we would give our lives into your presence, into your house, into your people, into our families. We'd honor, we'd accept, we'd receive, and walk in the fullness of the Lord for our lives. Thank you this morning. Thank you this morning. I've ministered on the principle of honor, but the altars are open for anyone that would like to come and seek the Lord. Maybe the Lord's speaking to you. Something, this message has spoken to your heart. Maybe you're not honoring your employer like you should. Maybe people at work around you, you're not showing them honor. It's a hard-heartedness that can come into us. The Lord is wanting to melt that away so he can pour his reward more fully into our lives. Perhaps there are other areas in your life this morning. You need prayer. Say, I need prayer for this situation or that. Come and receive from the Lord this morning. People will be here to pray for you. This morning, let's thank God that he is our exceeding great reward. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. Let's ask for the Lord's reward to be in our life as we walk in his ways and receive his word. Again, the altars are open, but let's take a few minutes, surrender our hearts to the Lord right now.